This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
This is the F Word, Vancouver's only explicitly feminist radio show. Feminism, a new wave on the radio. I beat drums in city slums when my heart speaks from my neck, not back at the sound of a gun, but nobody runs because nobody knows if nobody's sons just got shot, so nobody comes and nobody stops. Nobody moving, nobody pauses. Hello and welcome to the F Word. I'm your host today, Laura Wood, and also in the studio today on tech is Megan Murphy. The F Word is Vancouver's only explicitly feminist radio show. We work to facilitate feminist discussion and debate every week on Monday afternoon from 12 to 1 on Vancouver's cooperative radio station, non-commercial, cooperatively owned, listener-supported, independent radio, CFRO 102.7 FM. We are, as always, broadcasting live from the downtown east side of Vancouver on unceded Coast Salish territory. Today on the F Word, we will be discussing the Missing Women's Commission of Inquiry, which begins today with hearings beginning in northern BC. I will be speaking with Jeanette Corbière-Laval from the Native Women's Association of Canada about this inquiry and the epidemic of missing and murdered Aboriginal women within BC and across Canada. Due to the sensitive nature of this issue, some listeners may find the content triggering. The very serious issue of women and girls being stolen for their communities is one that affects everyone. Aboriginal communities, however, are disproportionately affected. Approximately 60% of the 3,000 women who are missing or have been murdered across Canada since 1980 are Indigenous women. What is being done about this? According to Amnesty International's Stolen Sisters report, the Canadian federal government has pledged $10 million over the next 5 years to address the issue of violence against Aboriginal women and girls. In reality, however, much of that money is going toward police initiatives that track missing persons, but do not specifically focus on patterns of violence against Indigenous women. This initiative is also undermined by the fact that police are still not required or provided training and support to ensure that police reports consistently and accurately record whether or not victims of crime and missing persons are Aboriginal. As a result, the true extent and nature of violence against Indigenous women will continue to be obscured. As well, the government has delayed funding to the Native Women's Association of Canada's Sisters in Spirit initiative, thus hindering the important research and advocacy work that the government itself has said has been vital in drawing attention to violence against Aboriginal women. Up next, we will hear my interview with Native Women's Association of Canada President Jeanette Corbière-Laval. But first, we are going to hear a track from Aboriginal MC M.O. and Geothermo with Kinney Star. This is Muskox.
Okay, yeah. Faces that haunt me, futures that taunt me. This is what could have been if only they'd said stop me. Knew they weren't a dream, things didn't get so rocky. But teenager, teen anger, not likely to be talking. And that's the tragedy we have to see. The silent suicidal tendencies on a murdering spree. To stop them, we have to make them stand up and speak. Hold their hands up, exposing where they're weak. I couldn't be there when they buried my boy Titusi. Little man, 15, skinny and tan. The epitome of a boy who should grow into an Inuk man. Artistic and witty, too smart for his own good. God damn, too smart to live shitty, to wallow in self-pity. Smart to be fooled by dreams he wasn't gonna be fulfilling. Not knowing when he died, part of the rest of us went with him.
We can all walk forward in one beat. Stomp like an army with enlightened feet. Wings on our backs, feathers for hair. Brush off the clouds, make fresh air. Little brother, we don't need to lose you. Oh my sister, let's be good, through and through. Wings on our backs, feathers for hair. Stomp like an army, making fresh air, reorganized chaos left from the past. Generations lost come forward to last, like the strongest tree, we stand taller than sunshine, backed by our wings in the air and a strong spine. And this is it, it's now, a new time. Wings on our backs, feathers for rhymes. Wings on our back, feathers for rhymes. Wings on our backs, feathers for rhymes.
The Missing Women's Commission of Inquiry was created with a very specific mandate of looking into how the investigations into the murders of women in the downtown East Side occurring between January 23, 1997 and February 5, 2002 were carried out by police forces in British Columbia. The commission will also investigate the decision of the Criminal Justice Branch made in 1998 to enter a stay of proceedings on charges against Robert Picton of attempted murder, assault with a weapon, forcible confinement, and assault. Though the work of the commission has barely begun, it has thus far been marred by controversy. Criticisms of the process include the limited mandate of the commission. It will not be considering in its report the many women missing or murdered along the infamous Highway of Tears, leading to loud protests of criticism from many groups and communities throughout BC. Harshly criticized as well is the lack of individual legal representation provided for groups participating in the inquiry who requested financial assistance. Though two lawyers were recently made available to the inquiry to represent the Greater Downtown East Side and Aboriginal women's groups, many groups who wanted to participate have withdrawn, as they have not been financially supported to participate, leading to groups calling the commission self-serving and accusing it of having lost sight of its objectives. The lead-up to the Commission of Inquiry on Missing and Murdered Women has certainly been rocky, and many groups are wondering how effective and thorough the upcoming investigation can be with so many groups unable to participate. To talk more about this issue and the ongoing issue of missing and murdered Aboriginal women across Canada is Native Women's Association of Canada President Jeanette Corbière-Lavelle. Ms. Corbière-Lavelle has worked for more than 25 years seeking justice and equality for Aboriginal women. She challenged the gender discrimination of the Indian Act all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada to assure equality of status for Aboriginal women. I reached Jeanette Corbière-Lavelle on the phone from her home in Ottawa. So to get started, I wanted to ask you what the Native Women's Association of Canada's position is on the Missing Women's Commission of Inquiry.
Well, at this time and point, we have withdrawn our participation in this commission of inquiry. And we did it reluctantly, very reluctantly, because, as you know, we have a mandate from all our members right across Canada to speak on behalf of, our families who have lost, their loved ones, women and girls, and to work with any police department, security agency, to ensure that something is done, that would be productive, that would be, to their advantage and to the benefit of our families and communities, to stop this ongoing abuse and the murders of our women. So this is why it was so reluctantly on our part that we had to withdraw. We certainly didn't do it willingly.
What factors led you to have to withdraw from the commission?
Well, number one, just because we anticipated And we really felt assured that in any commission, you know, the participants, especially the ones who are given full standing, would be assisted and aided by whoever is doing the inquiry. And here it is the, you know, the government of British Columbia, the BC government, the Liberal government that is there, who had brought this about. And then to be told after the commissioner, Mr. Opal himself, had very, I guess, strongly made a request to the Attorney General that we be funded, and then to have the Attorney General refuse funding, you know, for us to be participating. And this is even in consideration that we are the only national women's organization that have been granted standing. In fact, the only national Aboriginal organization that have been granted standing. And he was very observant, and he said it was crucial that we participate in this commission. And I believe we would have been one of the key participants, because as you know, and many other Canadians know, we've had this program called Sisters in Spirit for over 5 years. This is 6 years now. Currently, it's called Evidence to Action. But mainly, we're still looking at strategies and practices to stop, you know, all this violence, and to work with the police to ensure that they do what they're supposed to do, which is to protect Canadians. And our women are Canadians, you know, because we're Aboriginal doesn't mean that we should be getting less protection or less diligence, you know, in terms of provision of security and justice services. So he really stressed that, and he wanted to see us participate. And we really thought this was going to happen. Consequently, we were literally shocked when we saw the reply from the Attorney General. And then to see that he ended up resigning later. This is Barry Benner. So obviously there's some difficulty within the government of British Columbia itself. And when we couldn't get that that funding for us to be able to hire our own independent counsel, you know, to look at what we have, our experience, and to have our own witnesses at this commission. And number two, so that our own counsel working on our behalf, working very closely with us as the Native Women's Association Canada, to not have the resources to participate. It really was disappointing and shocking for us. And so, you know, we're not an organization that has the funds, independent funds, to be able to hire our own independent counsel to participate, because, as you know, these commissions will take time, and there's a lot of background work to be done in order to do a good, even an adequate job in participating. You know, the premier herself, Christy Clark, said, well, you have an opportunity to do a presentation at a study group or at a hearing of some sort, you know, where we were invited to say, well, you know, you're welcome to come and do it there. Well, that's not good enough. And in fact, it's insulting. And also that, and I can understand the commissioner, Opal, you know, saying that, well, he's really trying to figure out a way, you know, to get the 13 members who were granted full standing, to be able to get them to participate. And he appointed independent counsel. Well, one independent counsel for all the others who don't have the funds to participate. And you know that there's been quite a few who've already dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. So one independent counsel, you know, for everyone, for the other eight who do not have, you know, the resources to participate with their own counsel, that is just not good enough either.
How do you think the government's decision not to provide legal counsel for Aboriginal groups will impact this inquiry process?
Well, obviously, it is going to have big, big impact in that if our organizations and our other council, you know, representing Aboriginal women, you know, who have been mostly impacted by violence and murders, if they're not participating, we feel that this commission is not going to be able to follow up on the mandate that it was set up to do. There's going to be a big gap, you know, in what happened in British Columbia. And I believe the commissioner himself wanted to also broaden his mandate and look at what is happening at the Highway of Tears.
Can you speak a little bit to the mandate of the inquiry? Can you go over what the mandate is and what the commission will be looking at?
Well, you know, I'm president of National Aboriginal Women's Organization, and I have to go with what I've been told. And I've been informed that, you know, the commission was to look at the murders and women who have been killed in downtown Eastside Vancouver, of which the majority are our women, Aboriginal women. But as well, you know, this was to be broadened. And this is where we would have had the expertise, the experience, you know, that we've been able to document. You know, we, through our program, Sisters in Spirit, we would have been able to bring this, you know, to this commission. And not only that, but our experience right across Canada, because, you know, there have been many, many cases in other provinces, especially in the Western provinces. But even in the east of Canada, that, you know, we have that kind of experience to bring to this commission. With the result that I believe the ultimate conclusion, the recommendations, they would have been good. They would have been strong recommendations. But now, you know, with so many organizations not participating, I just can't see. And mind you, this is my opinion and the opinion of our member provincial and territorial organizations that it's just not going to be adequate. And it's unfortunate, really unfortunate, because we recognize the energy and the intention of the Commissioner Opal himself to ensure that those groups, you know, who were granted full standing, to ensure that they get the resources to participate. And I believe that the families, you know, who've lost their daughters, who've lost their aunts, you know, mothers, young girls, they're the ones who are feeling this loss profoundly, you know, because once again, they're being let down. Initially, when they were doing the police investigations downtown Vancouver, the police did not do an adequate job. And that's what brought this commission about. Families were disappointed at that point. And now here again, the provincial government, who said, yes, we will do something, now they're being let down again. You know, to have this happen again, it just reopens all those old wounds, you know, that grief. And I just think in this day and age, it's not acceptable, you know, for anyone to be treated like this.
You are listening to The F Word on Vancouver Co-op Radio. We have been speaking today with Native Women's Association of Canada President, Jeanette Corbière-Lavelle. Here is the second part of my interview with her. Why do you think there's been a reluctance by law enforcement and by the government and public to take the cases of missing Aboriginal women in BC and across Canada seriously?
Well, I don't like to say this, but, you know, and nor do many of our members like to believe it, nor in fact do many Canadians like to think, but underneath it all is that systemic racism, racism that is inherent within the various policing agencies, the various government departments, you know, because it is, it's an issue, you know, regarding Aboriginal women. Whether it's First Nations, Métis, or Inuit women, it's always the second best mistreatment, that racism that underlies this. And this is why we are asking for a national inquiry on missing and murdered Aboriginal women. It'll have to be a specific and a separate one, because we can't even get our voices heard at the provincial inquiry. And this is happening right across Canada, as you know. We've got documentation of over 600 right now. And even this summer, there's been more cases of Aboriginal women who are murdered and missing. I've been told that I believe there have been 6 more this summer. And that's not part of our data or documentation. So to us, it's that underlying racism. And the fact that it is on the most vulnerable of Canadian population, who happen to be Aboriginal women, for the reasons that many of us know, which is poverty and, lack of access to education, lack of access to resources, adequate housing. These are all the reasons why, our women are so vulnerable, especially in the urban areas. So those are the issues that need to be looked at, and governments aren't willing to look at it. So it brings us to the next level then, to the human rights question. As citizens of Canada, guaranteed under the Constitution of Canada, we have the right to access equal justice. And, fairness in the delivery of services and access to human rights that everyone's entitled to in Canada. So if we're not able to do it, then the only alternative is to go to an international level, to the United Nations, where Canada is responsible to ensure that they are following, the agreements that they have signed on to at the international level regarding human rights, for all citizens.
Is there any movement by the government, the federal government, to look at any of these issues, to launch a national inquiry?
Well, we haven't been directly, informed of any such intention. And I know that at the last session that we had at the Council of the Federation, where all the premiers of Canada came together, there was an agreement that, there would be a task force, right across Canada on the issue of stopping violence against Aboriginal women, and specifically looking at this whole question of missing and murdered Aboriginal women. And that was just at a task force level. But now, we feel compelled that we have to ask the premiers to support us in calling for a national inquiry. And they've agreed that, this is very, very important. And even the premier of British Columbia, Christy Clark, she agreed to this as well. But here she doesn't agree to even give us the resources to participate in this commission of inquiry in British Columbia. So it doesn't follow, say one thing on one hand that you support, yes, we'll do this national inquiry, or we'll have a specific National Aboriginal Women's Summit on missing and murdered Aboriginal women, and yet not provide the resources, which in the long run would have been far less funds, for us to hire our independent counsel to participate in this commission. So it's just making this issue broader, larger, even expanding to the international level.
Oh, that's very frustrating.
Oh, exactly. And I believe that, listeners to your program, when they see, when they can clearly, sort of see the steps of what has happened, and see how we've been blocked at every level. You know, that they'll see that this is definitely unfair and that it is a human rights issue. And our people, my people, you know, our members within the Native Women's Association of Canada, we are entitled, and I feel, to access to these services, the human rights and the fairness and the justice that all Canadians are entitled to.
Well, there are many stories about missing and murdered Aboriginal women across Canada. Is there a story in particular that touches you deeply?
Well, you know, I, as president, I cannot just say, you know, this one is more, you know, shocking and more important than another. All I can say is, as a grandmother, and I have 5 young granddaughters, I am doing everything within my ability as president to ensure that these murders stop. You know, I've heard stories from young mothers whose 17-year-old daughters have disappeared right from the streets of their town. You know, daughters and their friends. And then the police cannot say anything. First thing that they'll say is, well, they've only been gone one day, and, you know, maybe they've just run away. And then 2 days go by, and then a week. And then they'll say, well, you know, we heard that maybe they're in a larger town in the same province. I'm talking about Ontario. There's 2 young women who have disappeared right from their community. They were 17 and 16. It's just heartbreaking, because maybe had something been done right away within 24 hours, that there might have been a trace, you know, that could be followed. But because it's Aboriginal young women, there's always that hesitancy, you know. We're not going to look into this right away because, you know, as we all know, young Aboriginal women like to run away. That's the feeling. But, you know, I've been told if it is a non-Aboriginal young woman who, you know, is concerned, it's concerning, and the parent complains, usually they'll, you know, the police will take action right away within 12 to 24 hours. And so this is why it's so hurtful, you know, and we would like to do whatever we can to ensure that the police, the RCMP, whoever is involved, provincial policing services, that they know and they're prepared. You know, this is a scenario that we've seen before, and action must be taken right away. I believe in Saskatchewan, there was 2 other young women who were lost. One was found, and the other one is still gone. So there are various cases. And then also right now, there's 2 women from British Columbia in Walk for Justice. That's Bernie Williams and Gladys Raddick. They've they and their supporters have walked right from Vancouver, and they'll be arriving in Ottawa on September 17th, at which time I'll be joining them to bring the case of missing murdered Aboriginal women directly to Parliament. And Parliament will be in session, and they will ask the Prime Minister of Canada to call a national inquiry. And they talk about, you know, one of the founders there has a niece who went missing on the Highway of Tears. The other has a mother and a sister who've been murdered right down the east side of Vancouver. I feel I don't want to talk about details because it's not my position to speak on their behalf. I would like to give them the opportunity, make their voices heard. That is our mandate, to ensure that the voices of our families are heard, their experience, the pain, and what they want. And they're asking for a national inquiry. And I hope that the officials that we've elected, no matter what their political party, I hope that they hear the pain and the grief that is experienced by the families who've lost a loved one. I hope that they hear their cry and their petition for a national inquiry.
Well, thank you so much, Jeanette, for speaking with me today about this very important issue. It's something that we will be following closely in the upcoming months. We truly appreciate you sharing your time and your knowledge with us today.
I appreciate the fact that, you know, you're looking at this issue and also that you will be sharing it with the public. Because I believe the Canadian public needs to know, you know, what has happened. And that we're not asking for anything extraordinary. All we're asking on behalf of our families is justice, equal access, and a human rights question.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. That was Native Women's Association of Canada President Jeanette Corbière-Lavelle speaking with me about the upcoming Missing Women's Commission of Inquiry. We will be following this inquiry closely on the F Word and will no doubt be looking at it again when the Commissioner's report and recommendations are issued in early 2012. In commemoration of the many, many women who have been stolen from their communities and families, this is the song Stolen Sisters by People's Poets.
Cousin the Betty Felicia. should pass away in the very same way. What the hell is wrong with society today? Or did we lose our minds and the way we treat women, especially beautiful indigenous women who live in marginally? So let us agree that they're oppressed by the worst and that they should be put first.
This is for the sisters.
So many sisters.
This is for the sisters.
All our stolen sisters.
Why don't we hear about them? The media don't show them. The justice don't serve them, but we all gotta miss them. This is for the sisters.
So many sisters.
This is for the sisters.
All our stolen sisters.
Why don't we hear about them? The media don't show them. The justice don't serve them, but we all gotta miss them.
Sleep clean, blowing up your scene like a sick new car. and greed for energy is stifling. You try to see what I can see, but stealing someone else's dreams won't be satisfying. Through the knots that I'm untying, feel connected, less affected by surroundings that can suffocate and irritate my natural state of being. What I'm feeling, I'm looking for myself, but I can't find. Trapped in the depths of my own mind, I'm trapped in the depths of my own mind. Looking for myself, but I can't find.
Since you were selected to receive a certification, your price today is only $299.
And you were sent to lead, sent to teach, outreach to those who need their stories to be told, not to be sold like the old trading posts. I wish they took note that the people like to host. But now it's all murder, she wrote. I gotta hit the right note. Healing and dealing, this is no longer a feeling. It's an action, it happens. No one toe tapping. Kidnapping still happens. Traditional ways, modern days. I know this is just a phase. It's all a play. How we're creating, how we're relating, how we debate those shapes of hate. I gotta let it go, let it show, let them know, bro. You gotta relax and get your fans on track, in check. Know that you sin, yes and no effects. I hope you can't sleep and reflect. I detect, I detect. Tossing, turning, my heart's burned, mind's hurting from all the disconcerting. I detect, tossing, turning, tossing, turning, my heart burning, mind hurting from all the disconcerting, from all the disconcerning. But it makes me push harder, be a better daughter for the people. I don't work for the man who ran to stand against the Indian man. I do it for you and you and you and your whole entire crew. If they only knew how to make grandma stew, they would realize it's about me and you. Social rise, got to fight, bring the light, it's called a mic. The answer is choice and voice, speak from the truth and love. No need to push, shove. Just be proud of where you came from. Ah, there's the rub. Believe in yourself. Just don't speak from your mouth. Never doubt. Listen to your heart and never lies. You'll be surprised how wise you could be. How far you can see. I know it's complex. Trust me, I can send it in a text. Under the subjects, beautiful objects. We all got something to say. Native
nightlife and relaxation. Don't miss out. Press 1 now.
You are listening to The F Word here on Vancouver Co-op Radio. We just heard a couple of tracks there. The last one we just heard was Vancouver MC JB, the First Lady, with her track Teach Yourself. And before that was Rapture Rising with their song Zoom Zoom. And the first song of that set was People's Poets with Stolen Sisters. Thanks for tuning in to The F Word. I'm Laura Wood, and thanks to Megan Murphy here in the studio today on Tech. We are here every Monday afternoon at 12 o'clock p.m. on Vancouver's Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM. You can listen online at cooperadio.org, and you can find the F Word podcasts on rabble.ca. If you have comments or feedback about our show, please email us at feminisms@gmail.com. That's feminisms in the plural. You can also learn more about the F Word by checking out our blog, as well as find show archives and information about what's coming up on the F Word on our website at www.feminisms.org. The F Word is syndicated at Pacifica Radio and airs on Tuesdays at 11 a.m. on KPFT 90.1 in Houston, Texas, and Thursdays at 7 p.m. on Public Reality Radio, WPRR 95.3 FM. Pacifica is a listener-supported community radio network of commercial-free stations that serve their local communities and beyond. Go to pacifica.org for more information about station programming and, if you're interested across the border, request that your local Pacifica station include the F-word in their programming. Thanks for listening.